Thanks for listening to the Journey Christian Church podcast. We're on a mission to make disciples who love God, love people, and serve the world. Our prayer is that this message encourages you today. And remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.
Not too long ago, we celebrated 50 years, but the past 12 years, Pastor John came in and he brought incredible leadership. His teaching, as we all know, is dynamic. He brought stability, and this is one of the healthiest churches I've ever been a part of. It's not perfect, but Pastor John brought a healthy culture from within and from without. And I couldn't be more grateful to come under his leadership and serve alongside him. I have a lot of friends that have followed this transition through the past year or so, and they said, hey, that they've called me and they said, hey, from the outside looking in, it seems incredibly healthy. Is it as healthy as it looks? And I said, no, it's 10 times more. And it's because of the humility and the generosity of our lead pastor. He is incredibly Christ-like, and he is making things that are difficult look easy. But I have some bad news. I'm not Pastor John. I'm not. In the Bible, there's a story about this young man named David. And he wants to stand up to this bully named Goliath. And nobody else is willing to stand up to Goliath. And so he says, hey, I'll do it. And he approaches the king, King Saul. And he says, hey, I'll go and fight Goliath. And King Saul says, great, let me give you my armor. And then you use my armor and you go fight him. And that's where we pick up in 1 Samuel 17. It says this, then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put on it, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like. For he never worn such things before. It wasn't his armor. I can't go into these, he protested. Saul, I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, put them into a shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Journey, I'm excited to go out and fight whatever giants might be before us. But I would just ask, would you allow me to be me? Let me be me. And can I tell you something about me? I hate the University of Kentucky with all my heart. I hate them. I'm a Gator. Come on. Come on. Can I just say how disappointed I am in you when I got up here and you didn't boo me? I mean, clearly I got a lot of work to do in this church. I mean, my goodness. Man. Pastor John, somebody says, Pastor John here, he was planning on coming here, but I used whatever authority that I have. And I told the security team, I don't want him on our property today. So you will not see his face. Hey, if you let me be me, I promise, I'm going to fight with you and for you. I'm a really bad Pastor John, but I'm a decent Dustin Agard. Let me be me. And this is my commitment to you. I commit to be the best version of Dustin Agard that I can be. To give you my best, to be a man of a prayer and integrity. To love my family first. To be a pastor who loves Jesus more privately than he does publicly or on any platform. And to be a pastor who has the courage to take the gospel to wherever God calls us. That's my commitment to you. And we're in this season of transition, and everybody wants to know what's going to change. Well, I'll tell you what's going to change. One of the things, the very first thing that's going to change is our logo. Go ahead and look at our logo. What are the colors of the logo? Blue and white. University of Kentucky. Blue. How did y'all not see this for 12 years? So I want to introduce you to our new logo. Listen, if you're ultra sensitive, relax. I'm just kidding. It won't go into effect till the new year, okay? Can I just tell you, true story, I had this whole David and Goliath idea and that jacket. I've had that for a year before I knew Kentucky and Florida were gonna play each other. And in my head, as I was preparing the past week or two, I thought this is gonna be great. But last night when the Gators lost, it made this very uncomfortable. So it doesn't feel as good. So here's what we wanna do in this series. We wanna look ahead. We wanna look at what do we think God might do in the future. And before we look ahead, I want us to just look back. Some of you either forgot, some of us don't even know the history of the church. And I think it's important to know that there's so many heroes that have gone before us for us to be able to celebrate 50 years as a church just a couple years ago. So here's a little brief history of our church. January 1969, 14 people met at Grant and Gene Mueller's home and began to dream about what could be and should be in this side of town. April 20th, 1969, they had their first worship service. September 1970, they had their first building was dedicated, which I find that fascinating. In 1 year, they met, grew so big that they can purchase a building. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. July 2002, Lakeview Christian Church moved to where our Apopka campus is, right here on Orange Blossom Trail, which was a huge vision. And that's when the name changed from Lakeview to Journey Christian Church. In March of 2010, Pastor John and his wife Melinda and family moved from Ohio to Journey and accepted the lead pastor role at Journey Christian Church. January 2014, Journey launched the Mount Dora campus. September 2018, Mount Dora changed its name from the Mount Dora campus to the Lake County campus. And that's also when the Lake County campus moved into its permanent facility. Shout out Lake County. And then in 2019, we celebrated 50 years as a church. 50 years. It's a big deal. Every single one of those milestones took vision. Every single one of them. And there's a lot of people in our church, a lot of people listening online that were a part of making those visions a reality. And I'm just grateful for them. And that's what we've done the past 50 years. You might be wondering, what's the next 50 years look like? And I'll confidently tell you, I have no idea. I don't know. You see, I don't know exactly what God's gonna do. I don't know if anybody knows what God's gonna do. This is what I'll tell you my job is. My job, if Journey is a sailboat, my job is to hoist the sail up and let the wind, the Holy Spirit, take Journey wherever it wants to take Journey. My job is to be open-handed and not closed-fisted with the Holy Spirit and say, God, it's your church. Where do you want us to go? So I don't know where we're going, but here's one of my biggest prayers. One of my biggest prayers is that we would celebrate a 100th anniversary as a healthy and thriving church one day. And if that's our prayer, yeah, we can be excited about that. And in order for that to happen, then we need to start thinking beyond ourselves. Because a lot of us, including myself, we're not gonna be around at 100 years. And so what does that look like? I wanna illustrate it with this. There's two types of people in life. Coke people and sinners. I'll let you guess which one I am. So here's the deal. Over the years, Coke has had all kinds of different packaging, right? Even this is from the 1800s. Even when it first started, the packaging looked different. And then it changed at 1915 and the shape and the size changed. And then we were like, hey, this is a kid's meal. We want more. And so America changed everything. We want more. This is good. And then, you know, unlimited refills. And then here you can't see. I don't know if you can see, but it's the University of Florida in 1984. And you can see over time, the packaging of Coke changed over time. Different shapes, sizes, plastic, aluminum, glass. All of it changed throughout history. And that was okay because people didn't fall in love with the packaging. They fell in love with the formula. You see, the packaging can and should change over time. As a matter of fact, when I was on a mission trip, I actually drank Coca-Cola out of a bag. The packaging was a bag. And it tasted great because the formula didn't change. You see, all through the years, the formula didn't change except in 1980s. In the 80s, they tried to change, but the people revolted. Listen, church. There's a lot of churches in decline because they fell in love with the packaging and not the formula. We can't fall in love with the packaging of the church, and we should always fall in love with the formula. The formula of the church was and is and always will be Jesus. And so when you're thinking, man, what's going to change? What's not going to change? Is my preference is this? This is what I'll tell you is not going to change the formula. Jesus will not change in this church. Jesus will be the main thing, and we're going to keep the main thing the main thing. How we roll that out, how we unpackage that, how we package that and deliver that may change and should change through the years and different seasons and different contexts. I love what Isaiah 43:19 says. It says, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland." You see, I believe God wants to do new things in and through you. I think God wants to do new things in and through your family. I think God wants to do new things in and through your apartment complex. I think God wants to do new things in and through your office. I think God wants to do new things. The bumper that came on right before I came up here, it had a phrase on it that's something I think about all the time. And it's this: if you don't see it before you see it, you're never going to see it. If you don't see it before you see it, you're never going to see it. Maybe you're fighting as a couple. If you don't see yourself in a healthy marriage before you're in a healthy marriage, you may never get into a healthy marriage. You need to see it before you see it before you're ever going to see it. There are some things that I see for Journey before we could see what's in store for Journey in hopes that we might see what's in store for Journey. Did I lose anybody? So here's one of the things that's new. It's our vision statement. Here's our new vision statement. Journey Christian Church is a community of fully devoted what? Of Jesus, who reach out to love our neighbors, serve the hurting, and develop leaders for ministry. We're going to be about three big pillars from this point forward. We're going to reach out to love our neighbors. We're going to serve the hurting, and we're going to develop leaders for ministry. And I'm going to want some feedback as we say these together. You go to the next slide. We're going to do three things. We're going to what?
Reach, serve,
develop. Lake County Online, everybody in here, let's say it again. We're going to reach, serve, develop. We're going to do what?
Reach, serve,
we're just going to put it on repeat.
Reach, serve,
one more time.
Reach, serve,
this is what we're going to do. We're going to reach, we're going to serve, and we're going to develop people for ministry. Those are the three big pillars that we're going to go after in the years to come. You see, this is my desire. My desire is to reach people who are spiritually homeless, clueless, or closed off to God's love and plan for their life. And so as we look at these three big pillars, the one I want to zoom in on today is to reach out to love our neighbors. And this is what we want to do because of this idea. Go back to that one slide. Because we desire to reach people who are spiritually homeless, clueless, or closed off to God's love and plan. Listen, this is who Christ came for. And not only is it who Christ came for, this is who all of us were at one time, and maybe some of you listening currently are. And if that's who Christ came for, then this is who we're going to be about. To reach people who are spiritually homeless, clueless, or closed off to God's love and plan for the life. I love what my old employer, Young Life, how they said it. They said it like this. They said, we don't wait for people to clean up, to grow up, or show up. We go to them, crossing barriers to build bridges of authentic friendship. We enter their world with no expectation of who they should be, but with every hope for who they can become through Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Jesus was asked by the disciples and some religious leaders, what is the greatest commandment? And he answers it in Matthew 22. He says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then in Luke 10, someone asked him, well, who is my neighbor? You know, we always want to know what's the bare minimum. Well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus answered the question with a story that many of us know. Maybe you don't know of the Good Samaritan. In the story of the Good Samaritan, there's this man that travels from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's about 15 miles. And in this 15 miles, he gets beat up. He gets robbed. They steal everything he has and strip him of his clothes. And the Bible says that they leave him half dead. So he's naked, loses everything. He's embarrassed, half dead. And then it says three different people come by. A priest comes by who should knowingly, just by his vocation and his education, should know what to do, and he ignores him. And then a Levite comes by, and same thing, from his history, he should know what to do and have compassion, but he ignores him. And then somebody that nobody would expect it to be the hero, Jesus makes a hero. That's a Samaritan, and that's where we pick up in Luke 10, 33. It says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Jesus asked. It's a Samaritan. Look what the Samaritan did. It says this, a Samaritan comes by and first sees him. Listen, in order for us to reach out and love our neighbors, we first have to see our neighbors. We have to slow down. We have to see them, that they matter to God, and because they matter to us, because they matter to God, they matter to us. So a Samaritan first sees him, then takes pity on him, then bandaged his wounds, then put him on his own donkey, took him to a motel, took care of him, and paid for all of his expenses. And you may be thinking, that's great. How do I do that? I don't have a donkey. And so I want to give you some practical ways on how we could reach out to love our neighbor. There's a guy by the name of Steve Ferguson. He's a pastor. He wrote a book called Bless, How to Bless Your Neighbor. And he uses the BLESS as an acronym to give practical ways to reach out to love our neighbors. It's B-L-E-S-S. And so this is what it says. The B stands for begin with prayer. So when we're talking about how do we practically reach out to love our neighbors, it first starts with prayer. Let's see them and then begin to pray for them. We believe that God moves mountains, amen? But I also believe that prayer moves the heart of God. And if God can move mountains, then let's pray to the God that can move mountains, that he would do that in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our workplaces. One of the things that we introduced, kind of a soft launch of it, but we're going to really go all in now, is a time of prayer. We have weekly prayer here. Every single Wednesday in this room at Apopka, every Wednesday from 11 to 11:45, we have a team that just goes around and prays over every seat. They pray for Lake County. They pray for online. They pray for our children's ministry, our student ministry. They pray for anything and everything. They pray for our staff. A lot of you send in prayer requests. We lay those up here and we pray for them. We pray over the back. We pray for everything. We pray for revival and that God will prepare us for revival. And what I want to do is I want to invite you to join us at that time. Of course, you may work. You may have an obligation. I don't know what it is, but you just need to know every Wednesday from 11 to 11:45, we're going to be here praying, and you're more than welcome to join us. You don't have to come. You can pray wherever you're at. You can pray whenever you want. It's not exclusive. We're just saying this is going to be at least a bottom line. We're going to have a time of prayer to pray for what could be and what should be. I've actually had some people ask me about something that we used to do pre-COVID. A lot of you, which is good. Y'all said, hey, when are you going to bring this one thing back? And the one thing is, if you haven't been here for several years before COVID, anytime we'd end a message, we would have a prayer team up here. And we would have people come forward every single Sunday and receive prayer. As a matter of fact, I remember a guy named Charlie that sat right there. Every Saturday night, he'd come and pray. He'd come down forward every single Saturday night. You know what he asked me to pray for? Every Saturday night, for his son's salvation. Every Saturday. Every Saturday. Why? Because he understood that it begins with prayer. That's what he understood. And so I'm excited for today, both at Lake County and Apopka. We're going to bring our prayer teams back. Come on. So we begin with prayer. The L stands for listen. Listen to their stories. Someone once said, friends are those rare people who ask how you're doing and then wait to hear the answer. Some of us don't have compassion for our neighbors because we don't know their stories. And it's a lot easier to judge people when we don't know them. And what God's saying is, hey, spend some time just listening to them. Don't talk all the time. Just listen. Get to know their history. Get to know their story, their heart. Then the E stands for eat together. I love what 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says. It says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives as well. We're not just here to invite you to a Sunday. We're here to invite you on a Friday night. And there's so much power that takes place over a meal. And Jesus showed us that in the Gospels as well. The S stands for serve. We want to look for ways to serve our neighbors. This whole idea of reach out to love our neighbors, it's all about being proactive. It's not, hey, if you ever need anything, let us know. No. We're not waiting for anything. We're going to them. We're not going to hold signs up here saying, hey, come to Journey. We're going to go to them. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't stand up in heaven and say, hey, guys, come to me. He said, no, it's incarnational ministry. I'm not going to stay up here and beg you to come. I'm going to come down there where you are. And it's going to be messy and it's going to be costly. And he says, but it's going to be worth it. And he tells the church, listen, go where they are. It's going to be messy and it's going to be costly, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. We want to serve. We're going to talk more about that idea of serving next week. The next S is this. We want to share stories. You know the greatest story ever told? The story of Jesus. Story of God's love for you. That he loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to come down from heaven to earth, to be tortured and stripped naked and crucified on a cross, to take on the weight and the sin and the shame of the world, only to conquer death and the grave 3 days later because he's crazy about you. That's the greatest story ever told. You know the second greatest story ever told? It's your story of how you met Jesus. The greatest story ever told is the gospel. The second greatest story ever told is how the gospel got a hold of your life. It's your testimony. Revelation says people will give their lives to Christ by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so after we pray and after we listen and after we eat and serve them, now we've earned the right to tell them the second greatest story ever told. What we want to do is reach out to love our neighbors. We want to hear people. And then we're going to share stories. And I think I've seen that played out beautifully recently with a longtime member of Journey Christian Church named Sharon, as she reached out to love someone she didn't know named Jennifer. Check this out.
My name is Sharon Aliquin.
My name is Jennifer Reed.
I've been a part of Journey for 17 years and lived in Apopka for 3 decades. And Jennifer and I go to the same salon. And I met her here, I think it was her first day in Apopka.
I just moved from Virginia to Apopka, and I set my kids' hair appointments with right down the street, a lady named Danielle, and me and Ms. Sharon was there at the same time. She was telling me how she already attends Journeys, and I was like, oh, wow, someone was mentioning Journeys Church to me and my babies were going to attend that same Sunday.
And we were talking about that, and backpacks came up.
Yep.
Backpacks. That's how Journey
Church came up.
That's how it came up. And we were giving backpacks away that Saturday. And Journey saved and put 3 backpacks away for her. And
my first time coming to Journeys, my kids were excited. They was up before me getting ready. They loved their Journeys kids teachers. They loved them. My son wakes up when it's time for school and thinks he's coming to church. And as far as the service, I was really shocked because I'm just now getting back into church. I wasn't brought up into church, but I'm looking to do something different for my children. And they absolutely love going to church.
The first moment I met her, a lot of times God does speak to me, not in a weird kind of way, but gives me a kindred spirit kind of. And I remember back when I was in a really lonely place and someone invited me and just introduced me to a church that loved me and embraced me. And that's what Journey is to me. And I wanted you to have what I have.
Meeting Sharon was something very, it brought something to my heart where I just didn't understand why God brought her. You know, I had just moved to Apopka and I didn't know anybody here. So meeting her in that salon, I felt like it was God just trying to tell me, you know, this is the type of person that I want in your life right now. And I just know it's God is trying to bring me closer to him in some type of way. And I'm really thankful that I've met somebody like her. During the things that I have going on in my life, it's like it's all just disappearing now. It's like I don't even think about the things I used to anymore. So I'm just really glad that I met somebody like her. I did not want to cry. I did not want to cry.
You want to know what I'm praying for the next 50 years in the life of Journey Christian Church? It's more of those stories. Where you have people that, kind of a saying that I love is rescue people, rescue people. Sharon had been rescued. She met Jesus, but what did she do? She went back into the burning building to help rescue others. That's what Christ followers, that's what disciples do. We reach out to love our neighbors, the greatest story ever told. Over the summer, I was able to get away on a study break. Some of you know, maybe you don't know, and one of the weeks, I spent almost an entire week at a cabin just by myself, just with the Bible, some books, just praying, dreaming what could be, what should be for Journey. And in that time, I didn't expect to get clarity, but in that time, I felt like God gave me some real sense of clarity. Not about what he's gonna do, because I don't know. He gave me clarity on what I'm supposed to pray. And so I felt like God in that time gave me 25 things I'm gonna be praying for that take place by the end of 2025. That's 3 years. And it's really important before I share these with you that I preface it with, I don't know if these are gonna happen. I'm not saying they're gonna happen. And if they do, it's probably not gonna happen tomorrow. So everybody just calm down. What I'm telling you that I know is that God has told me to pray for these specific things and to walk in this specific direction. The timing and the life change is up to him. So with that said, I'm going to share each week just a couple different things that I'm praying for as it relates to our three big pillars. This week is reach out to love our neighbors. And under that, here are several things that I'm praying for to take place. One is that we establish quarterly invite-friendly Sundays. And this may not sound like a big deal, establish quarterly invite-friendly Sundays. You're like, well, why is that a big deal? It's a big deal because what you need to know is there are gonna be several Sundays throughout the year that are not gonna be geared towards you. You may not like that song. You may not like the way we did something because it's geared for your friend. It's geared for your neighbor. It's geared for your coworker. And every single time we do that, the packaging may change, but the formula, the greatest story ever told, we're gonna share the gospel and we're gonna share it bold and we're gonna share it loud. And so we're gonna have these quarterly Sundays where you know, hey, this is the time, because I know how it is. I know everybody, when you invite somebody to your church, you're like, man, is he gonna talk about money today? Don't let the pastor talk about money. And we just made it easy for you. We're gonna talk about money every Sunday, okay? You don't ever have to worry. Second thing I'm praying for is that God would allow us to launch a young adult ministry. The rise of our resident, you can clap for that. A couple people clap for that. You can clap for that. With the rise of our residency, and it's growing and it's vibrant and it's exciting. And these are 20-somethings coming from all around the nation, and they're coming in. And also the rise of our student ministry, which is also thriving and vibrant. I think it's good stewardship after this student ministry, after they graduate, to say, okay, what's next? I think it's good stewardship to say, hey, we have something for you. And so what we're praying for is that God would allow us to launch a young adult ministry. The next thing, and this may trip you up a little bit, so let me unpack this, is I'm praying that God would allow us to launch a congregational campus. And some of y'all, most of you, all of you, I don't even know what that is. We have no idea what that is. Let me unpack it. What I mean by a congregational campus, I don't mean another campus. You see, when you launch another campus, one of the biggest hurdles and financial burdens is the facility. Well, guess what? Right here at Apopka, we have a large enough facility and we can take care of one of the biggest hurdles. And in our community, specifically around Apopka, there's a couple demographics that I begin to pray, what would it look like if we can reach them? So it might be a Spanish service on a Thursday or Friday night. It might be a Haitian service where it's in Creole. And it's all about our culture. It's all about our DNA. The staff are on our staff. It's not a church plant. It is our, it's just in their language so that we can take the gospel to them and their language and their lives can be changed. Because that's who is in our demographic. That's what I'm praying for. The next thing I'm praying for, and we've heard about this a little bit, but praying that God would allow us to build a studio. Right now, we have people joining us online literally from all around the world, and it's great, and I love it, but I think we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg on what we can do to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I think whether it's through podcasts or a built-in studio and the ease of it, I think we could easily take for very, very little, we can make a huge, huge ROI, return on our investment. So we want to see a studio get built. The next thing I want to do is I want to give away 2,500 Bibles. The Bible, every time I open it, changes a life. Every time I open it, changes. Isaiah says, every time I send out the word, it never returns void. There's something special about the Bible. I mean, the Holy Spirit speaks to it. And what we want to do is we want to give out locally 2,500 Bibles. Pre-COVID, we had Bibles in the seat backs. And then we took them out because of COVID, and we're going to bring those back. We're looking at reorder them. They're kind of on back order, and we're going to get them. And then as we get them, not only are we going to give them away here, so you come in and you're like, hey, I hear you talking about the Bible, but I don't have a Bible. We'll just say, hey, take that Bible in front of you. We want to give you the Word of God. Next thing I'm praying that God would allow us to do is fund the translation of a Bible. I don't know if you know this. There are 3,800 languages right now that do not have the Bible in their language. 3,800. And what we're saying is, what would it be like if Journey just said, hey, we're gonna do one translation. We're gonna find one people group and we're gonna financially take care of that. And I don't know if this next one's gonna happen. I don't know when, where, if, but Lord willing, we'd launch another campus. And you're gonna come to me and you're like, hey, are you gonna do it here? I don't know where we're gonna do it. Are you doing it tomorrow? I don't know. I just know I'm supposed to pray for these things. That God has kind of picked me up and positioned my feet and said, walk. And as you walk, pray. And as you pray, look. And as you look, build. And so that's what I'm doing. And it's kind of vulnerable because what I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to take part of my prayer life. Because once I say these, it kind of is like, okay, now they're out there. Is it going to happen? And I don't know. What I'm saying is, would you pray with me? Let's pray together what could be and should be in the next several years and beyond. And so here's our vision statement as I close. Journey Christian Church is a community of fully devoted what? Disciples of Jesus. Who what? Out to love our neighbors. Who what? The hurting. And what? Leaders for ministry. Let me pray for you. Oh God, would you let it be so? Would you allow us to be that kind of church where there are more and more and more and more countless stories of the Sharons reaching out to the Jennifers? That God, that you would give us the boldness to reach out to random people at a salon that we don't even know, to our neighbors that we do know and maybe don't even like, to everybody in between. God, give us the boldness and the courage to take the gospel, not just to the ends of the earth, but to the end of the street. And God, would you help us to reach out to love our neighbors so that we can give them the greatest news they've ever heard as we share the greatest story ever told. God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all that you're doing in the life of Journey already. And it sounds like a spoiled brat to even ask for more because how kind and good you've been. But God, just like the word says, we've tasted and we see how good you are and we just want more. And so God, we want more of you. We want more of your kindness. We want more of your grace. We want more of you. God, would you be would you allow us to be a part of that? Lake County, Apopka Online, to the ends of the earth. That there's no other name that we're gonna make bigger in the next 3 years than the name and the fame of Jesus. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
If you like this podcast, we post a new message every week. So make sure to click that follow button and share it with your friends. Remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.